Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how's it going?
Connor, I think I fumbled the bag this week, I'll be honest. You know well why. In that I forgot to go and see Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever.
Now, big movie. Big Marvel
big movie.
Big release.
One of the headline movies of the year that we've both been looking forward to, and we both generally talk about the big Marvel movies.
And here's me taking it. I'm like, well, Sean will know that we want to do a review of it.
Surely he'll pick up on that.
I mean, he'll surely pick up on the subtleties of we do a movie show. Surely he'll be able to go, maybe I'll go see it. Maybe just even wait 2 hours. Imagine my surprise, Sean, when I come on the call today and I say, you ready to go? And you said, for what?
I was like, are we not just doing a regular Movie Mondays today, Connor?
So our Black Panther 2 review has been pushed back to next week. Sean,
That's when all the hot takes come out, is 2 weeks after the release.
2 weeks after is when you really get the real good stuff. That's the real nitty gritty of the movie industry.
It's the real cream of the crop when everyone's already seen all the spoilers on Instagram.
That's actually a good point. Maybe we could turn this around to be like, we're letting you all see it. There you go.
Time, huh? You know, until we decide to lift the spoiler ban.
When I say we or ye, I mean Sean. We're letting Sean see it.
I'm sorry, Mr. I forgot to see Shang-Chi when that came out. Okay. we're allowed one each. Okay, bud.
And I'll tell you something. I got insulted for weeks.
Yeah. And not rightly so. That was out of line of me, Connor. I really shouldn't have done that. And I expect you to learn from my mistakes.
Also, if you missed it, we did a special Hero Zero on Friday. All based around Kevin Conroy after his sad death the previous week. Just a bit of remembrance. And we had some really kind messages sent in of all the people who tuned in to listen to it. And yeah, I just felt it was quite nice. Sean at the end said it was a bit somber, but I felt like it was the right mood, really.
It was somber and respectful in all the right ways, I would like to think.
So if you like Batman the Animated Series, we have a little bit of a half an hour little chat just about Kevin Conroy and his life and what led up to that. But Sean, we're getting into the movie news this week just because we didn't see a movie doesn't mean there isn't movie news. That's the thing. The world keeps on turning.
Movie news keeps coming whether we want it or not, quite frankly.
Quite frankly, I'm sick of it.
I am tired of the whole thing. The format and everything.
If only we could change the format to review a movie. Okay.
So. Shut up.
So, we're starting off this week with news from Deadpool 3. Now, we recently learned that Mr. Huge Jacked Man was
Indeed.
Going to be in this movie with Ryan Reynolds. And, I mean, pretty big deal. You're going to get Wolverine back. You have Ryan Reynolds play Deadpool. But, Sean, we've now learned that Ryan Reynolds, in a report, wants Channing Tatum in Deadpool 3. Sean, no further news on who he's playing, but we're bringing back Gambit news.
If it's anything except Gambit, what is the point of getting Channing Tatum involved? And why announce that, or why rumour that at this point?
So my question to you, Sean, is would you be kind enough to let all the listeners in? Maybe we've had a few new listeners.
I'm not expected to do all of this, am I?
Not the full run-through, but, I mean, in a very brief, why do we think Channing Tatum could be Gambit in this movie?
For years, since the original X-Men movies were coming out, Channing Tatum has come out and said, I would love to play Gambit.
True.
It's heavily rumoured. Fans like him. He's a good cast for the role. Okay. Then they start doing X-Men First Class. And they're deciding, we're going to do origin stories for a bunch of mutants. They float this with X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is not a very good movie, and had a different man playing Gambit. And then
Taylor
all of
Kitsch.
The origin... Taylor Kitsch. All of the origin movies were scrapped. Okay? Then Days of Future Past happened, and I think at that Comic-Con press panel, Channing Tatum came out wearing a Gambit t-shirt, and it was like, I'm Gambit now. I'm going to be Gambit in a project.
He self-declared himself as Gambit.
Yeah, and then then nothing was heard about this for ages. Then it came out that there were issues with the Gambit script. People weren't interested. It was dropped. It was wiped from the slate. Then the news came out that Channing Tatum might try and make it himself because he just really wants to be Gambit that badly.
We covered this. Like, this was like our first 5 weeks of doing this show, like 4 years ago. And yeah. It was just for years. It was like, Channing Tatum wants to be Gambit. Channing Tatum wants to be Gambit. He's trying to get it going. He's trying to get it greenlit. He's bringing it to studios. And then eventually it was like, he's going to film it in his own backyard. He just wants to be Gambit so much.
And it's like, and we want him to be Gambit as well. So I think that him showing up in Deadpool 3 could be kind of a final hurrah. Or what if, like, he might not even be Gambit. He might just be Channing Tatum.
So
and
that
Deadpool
was,
says, you look a lot like Gambit.
I mean, that would be very Deadpool. I mean, he's even come out and said, once Gambit went away, I was so traumatized. Because he just gave up all of his life just to go on his wander. It's like Hugh Jackman being like, I'm Wolverine, yeah. And they just can't get it off the ground, and nobody wants to do the movie. Because Channing Tatum is a big name, like, especially back in, like, 2016, 21 Jump Street, all those movies were coming out. He was a pretty fucking big deal.
Yeah, and he was in Magic Mike, so he was built. Like, he had the physicality, he had the look, he had the passion, he had the drive. And just no one would give him the fucking script.
Nobody wanted to do a movie. So, I mean, to me, I feel like if they don't cast him as Gambit, I think, what are you doing? I wouldn't it be so cool? Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, you have Channing Tatum as Gambit, just for one old time. I think you gotta bring him back, just to give him that feeling. He's been missing for years.
And we don't really know what this is gonna be about, this whole movie, but it could be like a road trip kind of scenario. And they even if you just go through New Orleans for a little bit and they run into Gambit. And he's just like, oh, okay. And then, he used to be Taylor Kitsch. That's who played him in the X-Men Origins Wolverine, so I guess they could address that. But fucking let Channing Tatum be Gambit just once in his life.
Just give him that sweet, sweet feeling of just having something to do.
Because, has he been doing much since...
I mean, Magic Mike 3 is coming out. Like, it's not a case of... something to do in terms of superhero stuff. Because I also think he has a new movie coming out that's like... I don't know if it's a Die Hard thing, but it's like... It's an action movie, anyway. From the maker of Deadpool 2, the director of Deadpool 2. So,
right, okay.
And he's going to be starring in that. So he would probably be involved in all that world.
He had a cameo in Free Guy as well, I think.
He did. And so him and Ryan Reynolds are, I would say, pretty good friends. I think this is the perfect time to bring him in. I think Remy LeBeau coming in, and technically he's dead in the Marvel Universe, because Deadpool is also now in Marvel.
What a fucking, upgrade, by the way. to be like, oh, I was going to be in like the now defunct Fox X-Men universe, but now I'm Gambit in the MCU.
And they can't take that away from him unless they do the thing of, well, it's a Deadpool movie, so it doesn't matter. Like, anything can happen.
Maybe.
It's just a weird fucking ulterior universe.
Now, Channing Tatum is 42 at the minute. Do you think that's too old for Gambit?
I mean, the man is looking well.
He's looking well.
I wish I looked that good at 42.
Absolutely. You know, he could absolutely play down to, like, mid-30s, I'd say. But, like, if he's to have a, like, if they want to do the whole relationship between Gambit and Rogue, then the age gap might start to be a thing.
Sean, I'm gonna come out and maybe say that they probably aren't going to go that deep. I think they just want him in as Gambit.
Connor, please. This is set in stone. He's going to be Gambit forever and ever.
I think in their heads, they just see the Graham Norton couch, and they just see Channing, Ryan, Hugh Jackman, and then they okay, let's print money.
Do you think... okay, so then who's the next... After Channing Tatum and Hugh Jackman come back, come for the first time in Channing's case, is there anyone left that is like, oh, I'd like to see them come back? Maybe McAvoy?
Maybe McAvoy? No, I think Fassbender. We gotta go with Fassbender, but I don't think they're gonna bring Fassbender back. Because if you bring Fassbender, you gotta bring McAvoy. It's like a 1-2 deal.
Yeah, also they're best friends. So
exactly.
They wouldn't do it without each other.
But also, I think they want to go a different direction with the main team.
Fair.
I still think they're thinking it's more just so, because it's the Deadpool movie, it doesn't matter. You can just do whatever you want.
Yeah. But like, if it's the MCU, it has to have some level of, no, this will stick. I don't think Wolverine is going to stick, but I don't know how much play Wolverine is going to have in the Deadpool movie. Like, whether
apparently
he's in it for a bit.
There's also rumours that Owen Wilson will be coming back as Agent Mobius in Deadpool.
Right. As the TVA agent who flattens out the time streams, but who also at the end of Loki is like, maybe we can just do some stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So then, but also there's multiple versions of him as well, is the thing.
There's multiple versions of everyone, so you can just do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, so what? The Deadpool. Because Deadpool at the end of Deadpool 2 has Cable's time device, so he can shift through time. And he goes back and he changes a bunch of things in the time stream. And then I guess that's how he winds up in the MCU. Like, the TVA are just like, oh, you fucked this one, so we're just putting you here.
And I think they're like going to probably do a joke where he like ends up in, I don't know, like Fantastic Four 2005 or like The Rise of the Silver Surfer or one of those like mid-2000s or like Elektra. Like a mid-2000s movie that like nobody remembers, but he just ends up on the set of that.
Then he ends up in Days of Future Past and he's like, hang on, I know someone here.
Wait a minute. So Deadpool is slated to release November 8, 2024. So 2 years down the line. But I mean, pretty big news if Channing Tatum is coming back in.
Honestly, I would love it for him. I'm very excited. I am looking forward to that movie.
Will you see it? Probably not. You probably won't see it for maybe
not on time anyway. What, November 8th? I'll probably see it Christmas Eve and we can talk about it then.
We'll do the review then. Hot off the press. Sean, he just gave me a look.
I'm so mad.
Fuming.
Really upset.
You know what makes this even better is Sean was away today and he came back on a bus and it was a really long journey, so he's in a really good mood. And so I'm just poking the bear.
And you know, I wasn't going to address it. And I owned up to the movie thing straight away in the intro. But I'm not allowed to forget it, apparently. No, it's fine, Connor. Continue.
I want to see if I can crack up.
Yes. I'm half cracked already.
Oh, yeah. Sean, I know what's going to cheer you up is I've got some plot details.
No, sorry. I just want to say, before this headline is even announced, I want to go on record as saying I don't like this
story.
But
I've got the plot details of Indiana Jones 5.
The plot details?
Yeah.
Okay, hit me with it.
I know, because you were saying to me, how are they going to do this movie? And this is a genuine discussion. I'm not even just trying to set you up. I have found out what the movie's about.
Right, what's it about then?
So
just get on with it.
So in the last one, he met aliens, right? That's just, that's a thing. But now Empire Magazine has revealed new plot details about Indiana Jones 5 that we are thinking, how are they going to pull this off? Well, let me tell you, they're going to bring back the old classic Nazis. Yes.
He's Sean, back fighting Nazis.
The movie is set in 1969. Indiana Jones is an old man who feels even more out of time in an era of astronauts and space exploration, having been somewhat more interested in the history and secrets hidden on Earth. Sounds like the plot of National Treasure, if you ask me.
Oh, I'm back on board.
However, the appearance of some ex-Nazis stirs Indiana into action. Right. So, here's the thing, Sean. The moon landing program was in 1969, and it was run by a bunch of ex-Nazis. And this movie's about how ex are they? Because, you know what I mean? Indy's around, he's thinking, I don't think these guys are ex-Nazis. And then he's got to come back out of retirement for one last job.
So he breaks into NASA and kicks the shit out of some
ex-Nazis. Kicks the shit
scientists.
Out of a bunch of Nazis.
Right. Classic indie. I don't think that's... But I don't know if that's a selling point. Is that, oh, there's Nazis in this one, though. You like the ones with the Nazis in them. You like those movies. Also, just canonically, Indiana Jones's birthday is in 1899. So this is a full-on 70-year-old Indiana Jones, canonically, doing all of this.
Yeah! Does that not excite you?
But also, he's a 70-year-old man in 1969. like a 70-year-old man now could have all the fucking vitamins under the sun, you know?
Yeah.
And have, you'd be replaced with cyborgs.
But like, he
parts.
Was alive in the 1800s in this timeline.
In this time, he's been through wars and like he's breathing a lot of dust and debris and been punched and shot and I can only imagine horribly ill throughout his entire life. And then he met aliens in the jungle.
He's just been kind of coasting in that for quite a few years at this point.
Yeah, because when the last one was set in the 50s, wasn't it?
Yes. I think it was. It was after World War II.
Yeah, and it was like the you got the greasers and you got all of the rebel without a cause stuff. Set in 1957. So this is 12 years after the events of Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Which came out in 2006, so like was like 16 years our time.
Yeah, 2008 it came out.
2008, okay. So, I mean, Sean, does this movie plot make you more or less excited about this movie that apparently we covered a few weeks ago has been getting very bad reviews from critical responses?
I mean, it's not a selling point to me to be like, well, there's ex-Nazi scientists in it.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like Marvel with, like, Hail Hydra. Like, they're doing, like, the space program, but they're all Nazis secretly underneath it. And then he's the only one that can see it.
Yeah, but, like, the US did, you know, take a lot of ex-Nazi scientists and, like, put them to work because they were scientists and they knew science and how to build things. Mm. And I think we can all agree that Nazis were bad. I don't think that
should
be a controversial
statement. I feel like that should be a universal. I don't think that should be a debate, really.
So by all means, have Indiana Jones fight Nazis. But, like, we know that the man lands on the moon at the end. Do you think there will be a scene where Indiana Jones is on some kind of rocket and it's about to take off and he has to get off of it just in time?
It's one of those it's one of those really old, like, slow leaps. he's like really having to do a run up to try and make the 3-foot gap.
How much action is going to be in this, really?
A lot of whip work. You can do a lot with a whip because he doesn't have to move if he's whipping.
This is another thing, right? Part of the charm of Indiana Jones is that he was just a man in various foreign locations with a whip and a gun. How does that fly in 1969 when the Nazis you're hunting are NASA research scientists, presumably in some kind of office or campus?
In my head, what they are like, they're like you're gone rogue. You're gone rogue, Indiana. You don't even know what you're talking about. He's like, they're all fucking Nazis, man. They're all bad.
Well, they do the line of like, oh, he's an old man. He's losing his mind.
He's losing his mind.
He's remembering the old days.
But Sean, it'll be too late by the time they realise he was correct all along, possibly the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Can I make a call?
Okay.
So there's going to come, Indiana Jones is going to come. He's going to pitch all of the Nazi stuff early on in the film to
it's
someone.
So early, like I'm talking the first 30 minutes.
Like head of NASA, I don't care. But and they're going to laugh him out of the building. They're going to be like, "Indy, you're senile, you're old. Get out of here, you prick." And then he's going to come across. He's going to do some research. He's going to see a bunch of pictures of scientists with head Nazis and all this kind of thing. And then he's going to be shocked. He's going to reach for the phone. He's going to hesitate. The camera will pan over to a whip and a fedora hat.
Oh, shit.
And you will hear the iconic Indiana Jones theme song play.
Yeah.
That is exactly a shot that is going to happen in that film.
And he has to have to look in the mirror. And he looks at himself like, can I still do this? Am I up to this anymore?
Yeah, and it's going to be, and in the corner of the mirror is like a picture of him and his dad when he was younger.
Yes, this is the best worst idea I've ever had. Yes,
that now I have to see the film because I need to know.
It sounds like an Oscar winner. I think this could be a great idea. Sean, look, Nazis are running the space program. Indiana Jones has got to punch them. It's better than aliens. That's what I'll give it. I will give it that it's better than aliens.
It is wild that we have to dial it back a whole bunch because we put aliens in the last one.
Yeah, at that point, anything you do is better. If he doesn't encounter aliens, then it might be a more coherent script.
Not by the audience reviews so far.
That's true. I would be interested to know the audience reviews of the last one, like when they released it in 2008, like when they did the fucking press screenings and shit. And people were like,
yeah.
This is weird. I don't know if this is the same movie.
This is not what I grew up watching.
Yeah, this is
initial
a bit
reactions
strange.
Mixed to Crystal Skull. Some described it as not worth the 19-year wait.
Oh, good. Good. That's always a good review. So, Sean, we're going to have to move on to our next piece of news. And I have some pretty good ones now because you actually predicted this a little while ago, a few weeks ago.
Did I?
We were talking about Harry Potter.
We
were talking about how Warner Brothers wanted to make another franchise and about 50 more franchises. But the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child adaption is now being pushed by Warner Brothers CEO David Zaslav, our favourite man.
The Zaz
is back. Every week he comes up with something that's more robotic.
So they're going to adapt The Cursed Child, the stage play that is bafflingly confusing and objectively bad from what I've heard.
Yeah. They also... David Zaslav, if you haven't been keeping up, we've covered him a few times in the last few weeks. He has gotten outspoken, has he, at Warner Brothers. He's the CEO, and he's come out and said such great lines as, we want to make this a franchise. We don't just want to do one. And we got to somehow make as many movies of this as possible. So many
we
good ones.
We want to make good movies.
He never once said, let's make it a good one. He was just like, how do we make more money by doing this?
Yeah, and so they announced that after Fantastic Beasts, which is also, that's a series that hasn't finished, but has been declining in quality and reviews since
the first one came out. The next one, just to let you
know. So they're just scrapping that and moving straight on to Cursed Child.
So they got three movies into the set of the five, and they cancelled it because they realised it wasn't very good, and now their plan is to do more.
Do you want to know something that happens in The Cursed Child? So you remember Cedric Diggory, right?
Oh, I remember him.
He was played by Robert Pattinson.
Batman.
And he was widely regarded as a very nice man who just wanted to help people and be sound, generally.
He dies in
the fourth book. It's been years. I don't care. And then...
It can't be a spoiler.
And then this... And Voldemort comes back and everything like that. So, what happens is, in The Cursed Child, Harry Potter's son, Albus Severus Potter, named after two of the bravest men he ever knew.
Two of the bravest men I've ever known.
Travels back in time, despite all of the time turners canonically being destroyed in Order of the Phoenix. Travels back in time and saves Cedric from his death in the Triwizard Tournament. And, now, time streams, knock-on effects happen. Nice man Cedric, everyone's friend, wants to look out and help everyone, lovely Hufflepuff lad, becomes one of the top Death Eaters in Voldemort's army.
It's a bit iffy, is what I would say.
Because what that says is that if this nice man hadn't been killed when he was 15, he would have gone on to become one of the top wizard Nazis.
So
of
you're
the
saying
world.
His death was ultimately a good thing. That
ultimately
nice boy
a great
Cedric.
Thing for the entire world.
Well,
you know?
So this is what really piqued my interest, is that they're eyeing a big screen adaption of the stage play Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, because they just want that Harry Potter name on a movie. Fantastic Beasts doesn't have the name. They need the name in the title so that they can put it there.
So people know Harry Potter, the one you liked.
This is the one you like.
There's Nazis in this one.
Going to a recent report by Puck News, producer, and Sean, this is really where I'm getting a bit confused, Toby Emmerich. Now, is producer Toby Emmerich related to Mr. Roland Emmerich, director of Moonfall and every disaster movie since 1995?
Toby Emmerich.
If he is, that is outrageous.
Family. Parent is Andre Emmerich. He has a brother named Noah Emmerich.
No.
Oh, Noah Emmerich is... he's in The Truman Show. He's an actor. He's an actor's actor. He's in Super 8. He's in a whole bunch of stuff here. But I don't think they're related to Roland Emmerich, is the thing.
Good. No, look, I would hold that against him. If he was, so I'm glad he's not. Because we all know Roald Emmerich, enemy of the pod.
Enemy of the pod, absolutely. Can I also just say, Toby Emmerich formerly was the chairman of Warner Brothers Pictures.
Pretty good. Good stuff, Toby. He had planned to transform the hugely successful show into an epic 2-film adaption, Sean. We're not just getting one, we're getting two.
Split it for no reason. Why wouldn't you?
Make more money. As per the report, Emmerich brought up an idea that had been pitched before, a potential 2-film adaption of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. It's an original 5-hour stage play, and it obviously has become a bit of a smash hit. But now they're going to bring it back for not only just the one, it's going to be a part one, part two scenario, Sean. Are you looking forward to this, or is this just, this was always going to happen, we're just kind of waiting?
I think it was only a matter of time once J.K. Rowling put out new Harry Potter media into the world that they were going to, you know, milk it for all it's worth, for want of a better term. But I don't, like, because it's not good. It's not objectively very good, The Cursed Child. So if film one does terribly, do we still have to make and release film two?
Yes. So you're just leaving a part one, like a massive cliffhanger? And just like, Cedric, you're so nice these days. Wow, why are you wearing that cloak? Oh my God. To be continued. And then we just never see any more. So everyone just thinks Cedric is just taking a new fashion sense.
Maybe, yeah. And then we have to wait a year and a half, 2 years to find out anything. And ultimately, they'll cancel it for a tax break, perhaps.
David Zaslav would be like, no, I want a new shinier take. Also, there's the whole problem of, if you start doing a movie in the middle of, like, a Broadway play, and if it's still on, I think you kind of hinder the play. So, and they're making fucking bank off that. So it'd be weird, but then the logic must be that we'll make more money doing the two movies than we will for running the play into the ground for the next 5 years.
Maybe the play isn't doing particularly well at the minute.
I think it normally is. They must be fucking making shit tons of money. There's always people there. They must milk it for like everything it's worth, really.
Yeah, I mean, but then what about the actors in the play? Do they play the characters on the film?
No, not at all.
Do you cast that? You are not getting Daniel Radcliffe back for
this. Oh no, Daniel Radcliffe is not coming back. But then again, do you do it if he's not? If he doesn't, like, if he doesn't come back in somebody else's Harry Potter, unless you make it so that he's not in the movie somehow.
I think he's in it for a bit.
He's in the play.
Yeah, I think he saves the day at the end, probably.
I think the son mostly saves the day, but then it's a thing of like, the two of us did it. Because we are both Potters, aren't we?
Yeah, but like also, there's a really good video. It's by a YouTube channel just called Sean. And it just breaks down.
Of course.
Look, what can I say? We're a smart bunch. But he just breaks down J.K. Rowling's like writings. And like, the whole thing in Harry Potter is like, oh, the ministry is corrupt and bad. But Harry Potter's big dream is to be like a wizard detective working for the government.
Yeah.
Like, and they're like, oh, and the house elves are slaves. Oh, but they like being slaves, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is wrong. this is bad. Mm. Yeah, Harry Potter owns a house. He owns a creature. Like, that is his servant.
Yeah, but he's nice to it, Sean, okay? He's one of the nice slave owners.
But any slave owner is a bad slave owner, is what I would say.
Make your own toast, Harry, you prick.
Yeah, you little... Use some magic, you bald hag.
You can just make magical toast. Just look at some fucking bread and cook it. Just do some fucking spell or something.
And also, you're either good or evil in a Harry Potter story.
Yeah, you can't be in
the middle.
There's
no grey characters.
Unless you're Snape. Snape's in the middle, Sean.
No, Snape is bad. Snape is always bad. He's always a prick.
Yeah, but he just does it for love, Sean.
No,
he doesn't. For love.
There's no love there, Connor.
It's a pure animal lust.
Jesus Christ, no. No. Moving on.
We're moving on, Sean, to our next piece of news. And I have news from Netflix, as they are looking to do a Chronicles of Narnia movies. They're looking for reboots of the Chronicles of Narnia. And they, first of all, I read this and I was like, why are you doing this? But apparently they put it into development back in 2018. So a long time ago, I can barely remember that. But what really caught my eye is they've found someone to direct them. And they're looking at Greta Gerwig to direct the Chronicles of Narnia movies.
That's quite a good choice, I would say.
Yeah.
And also, the Chronicles of Narnia movies were like, they were fine for the most part. First one was good and then no one saw the other two. But I think like if it was a Netflix series or anything like that that they were thinking of doing, that could work really well.
I think they're looking towards movies more than series.
Really? Even then, with Greta Gerwig, I'd be on board.
So they're looking for Greta to direct the first two movies in the franchise.
Right. Okay. And Netflix exclusive kind of a deal.
Netflix exclusive kind of thing. Yeah, so she's going to be directing the two of them.
Sandman is really good. So if they did anything
Sandman,
Narnia... Then it's like, oh, because Narnia is a magical world, Connor. There's so much going on there.
Yeah, there is. I mean, do you bring McAvoy back?
As the satyr, whatever his fucking name is?
Yes.
Mr. Tumnus. He's Mr. Tumnus in that.
Good stuff.
I would say only bring McAvoy back. Everyone else is hand-drawn.
Like, so this is one of those storylines where I was like, I don't really care. Like, Chronicles of Narnia, two movies are coming to Netflix. I probably won't watch them. It's absolutely fine. And then Greta Gerwig gets involved and I'm like, oh shit, it's someone really good.
She's got a certain mystique where like, anytime she's attached to a film, I'm like, what? That, you wouldn't get her for no reason, would you?
Yeah, like, that's the thing. And I don't think she would sign up for no reason. Like, she's that talented that she... Like, if she signs up, it's normally a sign of success. So that's why the Barbie movie still makes no fucking sense. With, her and Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling all signing up. And nobody knows what it's about. Nobody's seen a trailer. It's just... It's still shrouded in mystery. Nobody knows exactly if it's going to be good or bad, but we can only assume it'll be good.
All the evidence we have says it's going to be good. Every attached part of that machine is good. So I can only assume she's built a Porsche.
But the idea is really terrible.
Yeah, like when they announced the Barbie movie, we were like, this'll never work. But yeah. Now we're like, I'm very excited to see the Barbie movie.
Just for the sheer, like, what the fuck are they going to do?
What's happening?
Yeah, what's happening? So, Sean, I mean, would you watch a Chronicles of Narnia reboot? Or is this one of those that might be lost to the wayside?
I'd probably give it a go, to be honest. Weirdly, I'd probably be more likely to watch a series than a movie, which I know is a longer time commitment. But I just feel like I can give it an episode and decide rather than locking in for 2.5 hours.
You're thinking of kind of like a Lord of the Rings kind of style of what they're doing now.
Yeah, like a Rings of... Well, actually, the opposite, because I don't like Rings of Power, but I really like the Lord of the Rings movies.
So. Or like a House of the Dragon.
There we go.
Have you seen that yet? You have?
I've seen all of it, yeah, it's great.
Oh, pretty
it's
good. It's so good.
So good.
It's so good.
I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to spoil it for people.
But boys, if you haven't seen it and you liked Game of Thrones until the last season, go watch that, man. Go watch that. That's pretty good. Episode 8 is probably still the best one. I think it's like the most watched episode of all time on HBO Max or some shit.
I believe it. Meanwhile, Rings of Power is like the most expensive show ever made. And I'm like, I don't care.
Speaking of expensive, Sean, actually. I have some news about the Fast X movie. Because I know you're excited about Fast X. And it's coming out next year.
Yeah.
But there's news that's come out. Is the Fast X is said to be one of the most expensive movies ever made. As it's now 70% over its original budget.
Jesus Christ. That's too much money.
It's almost too much. So according to news outlets, the budget for Fast X has now ballooned to an eye-watering $340 million.
That is pushing the most expensive movie ever made, which I believe is Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
No, it's the Tides one. What's the name? What's the Tides
on Stranger Tides?
On Stranger Tides was made for $420 million.
Good God.
Yes, they thought that movie would make $420 million back. So they made it... What was that, like the fifth one or the fourth one?
That was the fourth one. The fifth one then was Salazar's Revenge or Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Of course. But like the fact that they made that for $420 million and they were like, yeah, this will work. Yeah, obviously, this is good.
And that barely crossed a billion.
To put that into context, Avengers Endgame cost, I think, $360 million to make. So, yeah. I mean, still $60 million less dollars than the... what's the Tides one?
Tides was... Jesus Christ.
Rise of the Tides.
Rise of Tidewalker. $1.04 billion for On Stranger Tides. Yeah.
Oh, they actually made the money back, but fuck me, was that a bit of a stretch. The Avengers Endgame, $370 million, Fast X, $340 million. Are we thinking of the same level of maybe box office back? Fast 10, it has to make $3.2 billion to break even.
That's, yeah. It probably won't, to be fair.
No.
But I think it will be more expensive than Endgame. I think they will actually aim for that as a studio because that's a good headline. Thing with the big cast though, and Endgame had it as well, is that you are paying a lot for your actors as well.
So that's the reason why. So it's due to the salaries for all of the A-list stars and the drama behind the scenes, which is why it's caused so much money. So if anyone doesn't remember, Justin Lin was down to direct it and he suddenly walked away from the project back in April following a major disagreement with Mr. Vinny Diesel. Apparently during a 4-person meeting, Diesel reportedly arrived with notes, something Justin Lin was understandably unhappy with considering he believed the script was finished. The meeting reportedly ended with a slam door, with sources saying that Justin finally had enough and said this movie is not worth my mental health, and then he left.
Fully respect that, by the way. Get out of that scenario.
So not only are they now charged, they probably have to cost more money to then reshoot some of the movie. You also then have to hire a new director. Then you also have to keep all of the A-list stars that you currently have. Because remember, Jason Momoa is the villain in this one. But I'm pretty sure John Cena's coming back. And you have like 10 members. Brie Larson is in this and Charlize Theron.
Like, yeah, it's racking up. And, like, the longer the movie isn't made, the more you're just paying these people to hang around and stay on retainer, basically.
Mm. Also, I'm pretty sure Vin Diesel got a pay rise after the
Of course he did.
He's working so hard.
Vin is the main man behind the scenes, keeping the film going.
So to give you an idea of the cast, we have starring Vin Diesel, Jason Statham, you forget he's going to cost a bit, Michelle Rodriguez, she's going to cost a bit, Tyrese Gibson, maybe not as much, Ludacris, he's not coming back for less, Momoa, Jordana Brewster, Brie Larson, Natalie Emmanuel, Michael Rooker's in this, Cardi B, Helen Mirren, Charlize Theron.
You don't get Helen Mirren for cheap.
Helen's coming, but see, the thing about that is it's like 2 days for her. You get her in for 2 days, she does her scene, then she fucks off home.
It's fucking good 2 days, though.
You know? Oh, that's a pretty good one. But like, the cast alone, $340 million on a movie that's like the 10th movie in a series. It's balls to the wall insane, if you ask me.
It's quite, to use a character's name, ludicrous that much money would be spent on the project. And more to come, it sounds like. I'm wondering at what point they like... They run out of money, or is there just unending bank accounts for this project?
I see. It's one of those where you don't really know. Like,
do you know what would be great? Is that they run out of money, and they're like, "Fuck, we have to just somehow manage to get through the rest of this production." And then at the 11th hour, Dwayne Johnson comes in and finances the rest of the project on condition that he on screen gets to kill Vin Diesel.
To beat him to death with his own hands.
And say, "I win." And then it cuts the credits.
He looks into the camera and he's like, "I win, Vin. I win." They have a lot of scenes where he just shows his true height. Because Vin Diesel is like, 6 foot? And The Rock's 6'6". But in the movies, they're the same height. Because Vin Diesel's like, "Got to shoot it so that we're the same. So nobody knows. Nobody knows I'm smaller than The Rock, the biggest man in the world."
That's fine to be smaller than that man.
It's not like you're like 5'4 and he's 5'7. It's like he's The Rock. It's like
he's a head and a half taller.
It's a good half a foot taller than you, Vin. Just leave it. It doesn't matter at that point. But you know, it's just for petty shit. That's kind of funny. Speaking actually of Pirates of the Caribbean, Sean, I have news of Margot Robbie's Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh yeah, I forgot this was happening.
It's no longer happening.
Oh dear. Well, look, I'm no worse off, am I?
So if I wasn't keeping up, prior to the Caribbean, obviously there was the whole thing with a man called Johnny Depp. That didn't go down very well. So then they decided they were going to green light another Pirates of the Caribbean movie that was going to be headed by Margot Robbie, and she was going to lead the franchise.
Yeah.
So she was very excited. She came out and was like, "It's pretty good." They had a good idea and it was all set, but the movie is now no longer happening, as it was just cancelled, basically. It kind of just ran out of legs. And so maybe she's busy doing other shit.
Yeah, maybe they're just like, "Let's give the Pirates franchise a break for a bit. Maybe reconvene in a couple of years when you can really, really make a good one. Rather than just, let's make the next one."
And so, I mean, the idea is that now there's people coming up, Sean, maybe online, maybe in whispers, Johnny Depp could be back. If Margot's out and there's no Pirates of the Caribbean, it's going to be like a different movie and they're definitely going to make another one because they have to print money somehow. Sean, can you see it happening?
I mean, I can always see them making another Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I will watch it. I'm part of the problem.
I know you like pirates.
I love pirates. They're the best. They're not even fictional. But the fictional version of pirates is way cooler and nicer than what actual pirates were. But I don't know if the response to the last two Pirates of the Caribbean movies were what they expected. I don't know if they can do, you know, another one. Because that original trilogy, I maintain, is unreal.
We've had a discussion, Sean.
First one's great.
So good.
Second one, as good.
I mean, that is just lunacy.
Third one is
so good.
As good. They're all as good as each other. They only get better, true. I would say.
It's just not true.
It's factually correct, Connor. It's so okay. good.
But like, do you see, I mean, like, they do, will they will constantly always make these movies just for the sole reason that they make money. And so then you also then go back to Margot Robbie, if she was to do it, that's pretty great, but they have the cash cow. And I think they'd be mad not to even consider bringing Depp back. Not that I even want it, to be honest. I think that ship has sailed, pun intended.
But just like
in general, I feel like just leave it. It's grand.
Could you see a film in the Pirates of the Caribbean universe without Jack Sparrow in it? Do you think that could work?
I don't know if it would work, but I think they might do it. Like, eventually they'll run out of ideas and they'll be like, let's just try one without him and see if it pays off.
Davy Jones origin movie.
Yeah, what are those? Like, and I don't think they'll spend like $420 million on it. Maybe they spend $100 million and they think they might make $200 back.
Yeah, yeah. And look, there is as well, like, if they want to do Jack Sparrow, they could just do young Jack Sparrow. There's a heap of books and comics about young Jack Sparrow.
The issue with that is, who do you cast?
Timothy Chalamet.
Okay, yeah, you have me. But he's also Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, so he's just coming for all of it.
He's just getting all Depp's roles. Yeah, yeah, remake Sweeney Todd. Get Chalamet.
He could be so good. He's so good.
It's him and then Alden Ehrenreich can just take all of Harrison Ford's stuff.
Ooh, that's good. And Tom Holland can fill in when Timothy's away.
Yeah, yeah, he'll just drop in for the day.
I sometimes feel like they're the same human, but like they were just born on different sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah, I feel like they're brothers that were separated at birth.
Zendaya is really confused when she's like on set of Dune. She's like, wait a minute. So Sean, I got more news in regards to your favourite. So I wanted to follow up a pirate story with a Spider-Man based story.
Your
two faves. Spider-Man spin-off series Silk lands order at MGM and Amazon. So that means Sony TV are going to be bringing a Silk series to Amazon.
It's a bold move. That's a bold move. Mm. So Silk, for those that might not know, is a character called Cindy Moon. She was bit by the same spider that bit Peter Parker. And so she has all of the same powers. And they also have a kind of a weird psychic link. And they're in love with each other. And it's a whole big thing. But if Sony have sold the rights to Amazon, then doesn't that mean that they can't use Spider-Man in that because of the rules?
So, yeah, it's one of those weird ones because Sony owned Silk. This is part of their Spider-Man universe that they want to create.
All of the Spider-Man adjacent characters that they have.
Yeah. So all of them except Spider-Man because Spider-Man is currently in the MCU, so they can't use him. But so they want to do a Silk series, but they don't have their own streaming service. So they're going to go to Amazon and they're going to sell the rights to them to show the Silk series. Angela Kang from The Walking Dead is also set as the showrunner for Silk. So they're coming in. This is a full-on series on Amazon Prime. I don't know how many episodes it's going to be, but they're bringing it as a series.
But here's the thing is that this must mean that Marvel passed on this. Because if you were pitching a Silk show,
Disney Plus,
a Spider-Man adjacent character, surely you pitch it to Marvel for Disney Plus first.
But I think they probably didn't want it on Disney Plus because they don't want it in their universe.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm thinking. Like, Marvel have no interest in using that character in that way for whatever Sony pitched. But Sony then will sell the rights of that to Amazon. Which then means that Marvel presumably can't use Silk in their movies. But then Sony presumably couldn't use Silk in their movies about Spider-Man villains and characters.
Oh, hang on. I have my head in my hands. Hang on. They can use Silk in the Venom movie and in the Morbius movie.
No, if Amazon own her, can they?
Yeah, because they're only just selling the distribution to Amazon. It's still their character.
Right,
it's like,
okay.
It's like Marvel or like, yeah, Marvel having the Deadpool series on Netflix.
Or, right, okay.
Like, you just kind of sell the rights, but you still own the character.
Okay, but then... But then it's just firmly, it's still in that Sony universe, which I don't care about.
Yeah, they're doing a series strictly for the Sony universe, but Amazon will be their streaming service for when they put it out, because they don't want to put it on Disney Plus, because then everyone's going to think, where's Tom Holland? Why is he not in this?
And where's any Spider-Man, though,
where's
in that
any
series?
Spider-Man thing? So, but this also sets a scary precedent that we could be getting lots more Spider-Man adjacent characters popping up on Amazon Prime in their own series.
But okay, that's fine, but how do you intro any of those shows without there being a Peter Parker Spider-Man involved? Because most of these, their origins are tied.
Especially because Silk's character is like bitten by the same spider.
Yeah, like on the same day.
She could have been Spider-Woman.
And also, actually, this raises a point, because there was a lad seen on the set of Kraven, who I think his name is Ezekiel, is the character, and he's the one that trains Silk, basically.
Right.
Because, so what Sony are doing is they're taking all of the mystical spider totem bullshit that was introduced during the events of Spider Island and stuff like that.
Which I will say does not translate well to film, I do not think.
Didn't translate well to comic books either, Connor.
Good stuff.
So Sony are now doubling down on the weirdest, most controversial aspects of the Spider-Man mythos.
Of course.
And they're being like, no, that's for me. That is for me.
That sounds good to us. I think that could really work on a film.
I mean, it's a bold move. I don't think
could
it's going to be any
Could you try
good.
To explain to people what the totems are? I mean, you don't have to, Sean. But
in the
least confusing way possible, talk to us like we're idiots.
The idea is that there is an extra-dimensional god spider being who imbues certain individuals, and they follow specific archetypes, with spider powers. So there's things like the I think it's like the warrior, the bride, the hero, that kind of thing. And there's always someone with these powers throughout history, throughout time, throughout universes, all of this. And they're all connected by, I think it's the web of fate or some shit it's called. But the idea
of you look at that, I'd be like, yeah, that's rock solid.
And then there's also a character, there's vampires. One of them's called Morlun, and they hunt the spider totems.
Yeah, of course.
And then Morlun, one of the first Spider-Man comics I full on bought, rather than just reading what I found. But Morlun kicks the shit out of Spider-Man, eats his eyeball, and kills him. And then he's buried. And then this is what happened. I think it was like 2006 or something this happened, is that Spider-Man was carried away by spiders, put in a big cocoon. And then he had a vision quest where he was like, you've been mostly man and part spider. You need to embrace the spider part of your body. Then he was reborn out of the cocoon, and he had the organic webs in the comics at that point.
Oh, good.
So that's
how
they introduced that.
But wasn't that their way of like matching the Tobey Maguire movie?
I think that was kind of what was behind it, where it let's make this a bit easier.
So I think that would really translate well. I feel like that's a really good visual that could really work.
It could. Look, it could work super well, but they can't use Spider-Man. And they also, there's a whole series, there's a load of people with spider powers because he was fucking cloned a whole bunch of times. But they can't use any of them because they can't have the original to clone from. Like, I would love a Ben Reilly TV series.
Yeah,
that would
but you
be,
can't.
Because he's Peter Parker's clone. Or maybe he's Peter Parker, depending on who you ask.
And also he dresses up as Spider-Man, so that's a waste, because you can't have the Spider-Man suit.
Can't have the Spider-Man suit. His suit is like, it's a blue leotard and a red hoodie. It's very, very cool.
But you literally can't have somebody call him Spider-Man.
Scarlet Spider is what he goes by.
Okay, you could get around it like that. Okay.
But then for the casual observer, they're just like, oh, there's this silk show about a woman with spider powers, and there's someone called the Scarlet Spider who dresses a lot like Marvel's Spider-Man.
He looks
What's
really
that about?
Similar to Andrew Garfield. Like my Timothy Chalamet. It's really weird.
I'll give it to Tim. Tim would be a great
Tim
Scarlet
would have
Spider.
To do it. Sean, we're finishing off this week with James Gunn. He has begun the teasing of what
begun.
He has planned.
Sorry.
For the DCU in the future months, as he is now, I mean, the co-leader of the DC movies and all that stuff. So he has now teased. He just put up one photo on his Twitter, I think it was, and it was just a picture of Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific.
Yes.
Have we talked about Mr. Terrific before?
We have done a Hero Zero.
We have.
On
we
Mr.
have.
Terrific.
I remember Mr. Terrific now. He's got the face thing.
He does have the face thing. The T.
The T on his face for Terrific.
He is also, I would say, the fourth or fifth smartest person in all of DC comic books.
Man, imagine having a smart person in a DC movie these days.
A really interesting character to even attempt to do straight off the bat, because like obviously there's a whole bunch of characters they still don't have a Superman, kind of. Apparently the Henry Cavill thing is after hitting the bricks because they don't have a writer or director, so.
But they made Henry do a video.
So Sean, what do you think of maybe a Mr. Terrific movie? I think it could be cool, but it's also one of those where I wasn't even considering it because he would have been like 7th on my list or like 15th on my list.
Yeah, like for people that don't know, do you want to give a very brief overview of Mr. Terrific?
So Mr. Terrific is he actually was in Arrow, weirdly.
He was.
So he's, in the most basic way possible, he's just a guy from, he's just a guy who decided to start fighting crime. And so he's the smartest, best athlete, best everything he's ever achieved in his whole life. And he basically decides that he needs to eliminate crime where he's from. And he's going to use it with his braids and his inventions. Mostly the T-Sphere, which are very famous. The T-Spheres are kind of, they're a bit MacGuffin-y in comic books in terms of they can do anything.
They do what they need to do.
They can do what they need to do. So he has no powers, per se. He's just got braids. So in that way, he's very similar to Batman, in that he's just the smartest man in every situation, and he comes up with inventions to try and solve problems or like to stop criminals.
Right.
I do think it probably could work. It would be pretty cool to see a full movie, but I don't know what villain you get. I don't know like the level of villain you go with. A cool thing to do would be have like a Daredevil like series, but he's incredibly smart.
Yeah, that would be cool. But what if there's a lot of misaligned things in the DC universe at the minute. What if Mr. Terrific just, his role in his movie or series, whatever it is that he just makes a plan and fixes it, and he forms a new Justice League or Justice.
Because he's always the guy in the chair for the Justice League. Well, in my head, he's always the guy in the Watchtower, and people are coming to him. Like, so, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And he's organizing teams.
So that would be cool if he was just like, okay, here's all the pieces. Here's how we put them together. Let's make a plan for the universe.
So he's like us, but in movie form. Like, he's what we've been dying for them to do in, like, a boardroom, but they're going to do it in movie form.
Yeah, like, they just be, yeah, like, instead of just all the heroes coming together, which I guess, like, that's traditionally what they would do. But, like, after the events of whichever Justice League film you want to take as canon, and after all of the issues that have been caused from, you know, Black Adam and Shazam and all that kind of stuff, and the issues with Aquaman, Mr. Terrific comes, like, is just basically like, look, we need to get everyone together and talk this out. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, sets up the thing, and then maybe you introduce, you know, a rival to Mr. Terrific trying to discredit him or something like that. Like, keep it about how smart he is rather than he's good at fighting.
I also have two casting ideas that they could possibly do. First one, unfortunately, I don't think will happen because he's in the MCU, and that is Jonathan Majors. I mean, excellent casting for anything.
Good though, wouldn't he?
And my second one, Sean, is Mr. John Boyega.
That would be good.
I think John Boyega could be fucking great as a Mr. Terrific.
Do you think he would do another big franchise, though?
But I think it's slightly different because it's like a superhero thing. Right? And like, I mean, I feel like he's after taking a few years out. He's been away from it for a long time. And this is kind of like, this is one of those projects that they could probably, it's probably going to be a lot smaller because it's not a Batman or a Superman. This can be like a movie that like is probably a little lower than Aquaman in terms of how much attention David Zaslav has fucking paid attention to it.
Yeah, but like at the back of it as well, though, is that like James Gunn is pushing it.
Yes, so that is true.
It's like clearly he's there for a reason because you don't pick a character like Mr. Terrific on accident. You have a plan for him.
No, there's a reason why he's been chosen. We don't know why. Because, like, as I said, it's one of those that came out of left field. But I'm now in a situation for the first time in years where I'm kind of like, I think James Gunn kind of knows what he's doing, though. He might have a plan.
And he's a master at making underrated characters into fan
favorites.
That's
his thing.
Like Guardians, the Suicide Squad. He's done it countless times now.
Like that, and he loves it twice, weird fucking characters. That like, not weird in terms of bad, weird in terms of like characters you wouldn't pick off.
An unusual choice. Ratcatcher.
Yeah, like Ratcatcher 2. It wasn't even Ratcatcher 1, it was Ratcatcher 2 that he chose. Like, the idea that he would do a Mr. Terrific, who's way further up the totem pole, that he could do a really great fucking Mr. Terrific movie. But yeah, he did that post. I'm very much looking forward to see where it goes. But John, I mean, I think that's it for this week's Movie Mondays.
It's been a week. Look, I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about Black Panther, but I enjoyed talking about the news with you, Connor.
I like the news, John.
Would you like me to take us out?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We'll be back Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero or Zero, and next Monday with another episode of Movie Mondays. Big shout-outs to everyone over on Patreon who supports the show. Shout-outs, of course, go to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Technically Fine Evanson, Waffles the Magic, David Clark, Sean Chuckin in the Wash and It'll Be Grant Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever, Hjelmroos, Danny McLaughlin, No One's Ever Really Gone, Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, Sean. Connor and Lorraine have added this Patreon nickname intentionally to test Sean's lung capacity. Thanks for that. And Russ, forget those moonwalkers and just walk. Parfit. Telling people to change the Patreon names was the worst thing I ever did on this podcast.
I think it's a great idea.
You have great fun with it. But thank you, everyone, for the support. Absolutely wonderful human beings, each and every one of you. If you want to join those people, the Patreon is linked below, patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Also down there is the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's discussion group. Instagram is heroesforhirepodcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Lee.
And we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.